Usually on Sunday morning we talk about something in Baptist history, and this morning though I want to give you a hymn history. This is my favorite story. Maybe it's many people's favorite story, but I'm going to tell you the story about Horatio Spafford and his testimony that has led to a great hymn that we sing. Horatio Spafford was a young, very successful attorney in Chicago. He and his wife Anna had five children. This little four-year-old boy died of scarlet fever, but he had four young daughters. He was also a very dear friend of D.L. Moody and that ministry. He was a very deeply spiritual man, and God used him to really help Mr. Moody and his ministry there in Chicago. He had a series of calamities, financial calamities, and of course the largest being in October of 1871, the Chicago Fire destroyed almost all of that young city at that time. And Mr. Spafford had substantial real estate investments there along the lakeshore, and most, if not all, of those were lost. He had a few properties left after that, but most of his investments were wiped out in the fire, as were most people in Chicago's lives. But so after the fire, the young Chicago city lay in ruins. The first building that was built on those ruins was by Mr. Moody, called the Northside Tabernacle, and Spafford kept himself very busy there helping people who may not have lost as much as he did, but maybe lost everything, and he at least, the Lord had allowed him to have a few things left, and he was able to help a lot of people. 2 years later, Moody and Ira Sankey went on one of their very famous trips to Europe on evangelistic crusade. It was 1873, and Spafford decided that this would be a good time, because they'd been through a lot, to take his family on a vacation to Europe, and at the same time they would be in Europe with Moody and they could help him in those crusades. And so they got that all planned, and at the last minute, as they were getting ready to leave, he had an emergency business problem back in Chicago, and he decided to send his wife and children on ahead, and he would come later on another ship. The Spafford family arrived safely in New York, and they boarded the ship Ville de Havre. And on their way to England, in the mid-ocean, there was a horrible collision as they ran into an English sailing vessel. The Ville de Havre floundered and sank in 12 minutes, taking with it most of the people on board, including the Spafford's four young daughters. And Mrs. Spafford was found barely alive, clinging to some wreckage when they found her. And while aboard the rescue ship that was taking her to England, she was able to send a short message to her husband, and the message was simply, "Saved, alone." Now, when Spafford received this message, you know, all the tragedy he had been through seemed nothing. All the financial calamity seemed like nothing compared to this, of course, and he lost his four daughters. His children were gone. And he immediately took a ship, the first ship available, to rejoin his wife in Wales. And as they were crossing the Atlantic, the captain came to his, captain called him on board and said, as they were stood on board there, as they were sailing in the dark, he said, "This is the spot in the ocean where your daughters are buried." And with a heavy heart, Mr. Spafford went back to his cabin. And he said later that though these very dark clouds would come to him, he did receive sustaining comfort of the Lord, that whether peace like a river or sorrows like sea billows, with God all is well. And captured by that thought, he went back to his cabin and he wrote these words: "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." He quickly wrote other verses of that hymn. That hymn has lasted for these 140 years and has encouraged thousands, if not millions, of Christians through these years. Later he would give those words to Philip Bliss, who would put the melody to it that we sing today. But I want to read you the verses of that song. We all know this hymn, but you know, taken in context, when we hear that story, this hymn takes on a dramatic new meaning, you know, in our lives. And the first verse, of course, is, "When peace like a river attends my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Then he goes on, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, that this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. His heartbreak didn't last long, in my opinion, because to me, this next verse is one of the greatest verses in all of hymnody. And that verse is, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And just a tremendous testimony and you know, a reminder of who we should turn to, of course, God. In our times of trouble, all Christians will have times of trouble, and I believe the Lord brings trouble into our lives to draw him closer to him. And Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so this morning, just remember and thank the Lord for this great hymn that has blessed thousands and thousands of people and the story behind that hymn. All right,